Hello, I'm Angela, a volunteer reader on the Black Country Talking News. This week's edition is for Wednesday, the 8th of July, 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightless Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon, your narrator for this week's edition. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. On this week's edition, we have Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen, Talking Book Steve, Flashback Roger, Sharon, Angela, and of course me, Simon. Included this week is a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz, a talking book review. We'll hear from Beacon Centre's very own Sharon on living with sight loss during lockdown, our flashback section where we look at this week in history, reports on both the Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, the weather forecast for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus a brand new music quiz to end. Now last week, Pete set you that brain tease, didn't he? So let's head over to him now to give you the answer.
Over the side of a boat is hanging a rope ladder with the end just touching the water. The tide rises at a rate of 20 centimetres per hour. The rungs of the ladder are 30 centimetres apart. At the end of 5 hours, with the tide rising steadily all the time, how many rungs of the rope ladder will be underwater? Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Oh, let's just go through that again. Over the side of a boat is hanging a rope ladder with the end just touching the water. The tide rises at a rate of 20 centimetres per hour. The rungs of the ladder are 30 centimetres apart. And at the end of 5 hours, with the tide rising steadily all the time, how many rungs of the rope ladder will be underwater? The answer is none. Because as the tide rises, so does the boat, and the rope ladder stays in the same position. So the answer's none.
I tell you what, Pete, I had no chance in getting that. Thank you very much. How did you do? Did you do better than me? Probably. Anyway, it's time to head on over towards our local news now with Ian and Angela, but first up, it's Christine.
An empty former office block in the heart of Wolverhampton city centre has been given the go-ahead to be transformed into 44 brand new apartments. A planning application to convert George House in St John's Square into residential dwellings has been made to the City Council by Tom Mann of Evans Mann Properties Limited. The three-storey building on the corner of Bond Street was bought by the Wolverhampton-based developers for £755,000 in March last year. Wolverhampton Council Planning Authority said that a request for prior approval by the developers was not required as they had provided sufficient information relevant to the proposal. No objections to the plans were received. The premises overlook St John's Church, which is a short walk away from the city centre's main shopping area.
Plans have been lodged to build nearly 20 homes on vacant land near Stourbridge. Ruskin Properties Limited have submitted an application to Dudley Council to build 17 dwellings on land off Hickman Street to Timmis Road in Lye. A design and access statement submitted with the plans states, "Our proposal seeks to release the site's development potential and create a new, high-quality residential environment sitting harmoniously with the existing housing and commercial uses. It will create a new, high-quality residential development that makes better use of a vacant site and its sustainable location, and is a chance to deliver a scheme which enhances the townscape. A decision on the plans will be made in the coming months.
A new online portal for taxi drivers in Wolverhampton to update any changes in their vehicles or circumstances is to be introduced by council chiefs. Licensing bosses in Wolverhampton are preparing to approve the £49,000 register, which will enable all drivers, operators and proprietors of private hire and Hackney cabs licensed by the council to provide up-to-date information records. My Driver portal will enable all drivers to record criminal motoring and convictions or cautions. Changes to name, address or contact details, changes in private hire operator, changes of driver if the vehicle is licensed by a hire company, and any road traffic accidents. The Council's Non-Statutory Licensing Committee will discuss the new online portal this week.
Plans for a railway station in Tettenhall have passed through their latest hurdle, with the scheme set to be considered for government funding. The initial plans for the project were given the green light in the Department for Transport's first round of bidding and are now being examined in the second stage of the process. If it is successful, then the final plans will be drawn up and costed, followed by a full public consultation before it's passed over to the Treasury for funding. The idea for a station in Tettenhall was initially floated by South Staffordshire MP Gavin Williamson and has been spearheaded by West Midlands Mayor Andy Street and Wolverhampton South West MP Stuart Anderson. The station would serve as the first stop after trains leave Wolverhampton before travelling on into Billbrook, Codsall and into Shropshire. Tettenhall previously had a station on the Wanburn branch line, which opened in 1925 but closed 7 years later due to low usage. Plans are also at an advanced stage for new stations in Darlaston and Willenhall, which are on course to be opened in 2022 when the Wolverhampton-Walsall line reopens to passengers.
Wolverhampton and Dudley have been flagged as possible coronavirus hotspots that could follow Leicester into a local lockdown. Analysis by King's College London of data provided by local volunteers suggests the two Black Country boroughs are second only to Leicester in terms of being potential hotspots. The same team used data from their COVID tracker app to predict Leicester's fate ahead of it being put under a local lockdown. And the latest government statistics show the rate of cases per 100,000 population is 524.8 in Wolverhampton and 405.8 in Dudley. In Leicester, it is more than double both areas at 1,083.8. According to data from the study, Wolverhampton's COVID-19 cases grew by 1.2% in the 10 days to July the 1st, with Dudley's up 1.1%. The rates are higher than Leicester, which saw a 0.9 growth in the same period. Government figures show 1,375 people have tested positive for coronavirus in Wolverhampton since the pandemic began, and 1,301 people have tested positive in Dudley.
Thanks, Ian. There's more local news coming up shortly, but now an update from Beacon with Helen.
First this week, we want to tell you a bit about the support that we're providing to those looking to find work during the pandemic. We've got a number of employment projects here at the Beacon Centre, and we know that sometimes finding the right words can be a challenge. That can be especially true when it's yourself you need to showcase. So, if you're living with a disability and want to improve your CV, then the Beacon Centre and the Building Better Opportunities Evolve project can help. Send us your questions on how to shape up your CV, and we will do our best to answer them. Email Ben Byrne, that's B-Y-R-N-E, at bbyrne, B-B-Y-R-N-E, at beaconvision.org by Sunday the 12th of July. The Building Better Opportunities Evolve project is funded by the European Social Fund and the National Lottery Community Fund. Now, in other news, we've loved being able to welcome customers back to our shops, but we're not able to open all of them yet, and we know that some of you still aren't yet able to come and see us. So, we're delighted to reveal that we've launched our own eBay store so that you can shop to support Beacon from the comfort of your own home. To shop, just head to www.ebay.co.uk/USR/Beacon Charity Shop. That's www.ebay.co.uk/USR/Beacon Charity Shop. Happy shopping, guys. Now, we wanted to give you an update on our member Carl, who has been raising funds for the Beacon Centre because of the fantastic support he's received from the charity. Well, we are delighted to tell you that he reached one of his fundraising targets. Carl's raised an amazing £235 in the past 2 weeks. And this week, as a result, as promised, he's shaved his beard and his hair off. Thank you, Carl, for all your support. If you've got a fundraising idea, then why not email our fundraising team at supportus@beaconvision.org. Lastly, this week, we wanted to tell you a bit about our Beacon of Hope. Each week, we pick a Beacon of Hope for the charity, and that's someone who's really gone out their way to help our members. This week, it went to one of our volunteers, Rupa. Now, they say that the greatest gift you can give is your time, and we think that's certainly true of Rupa. She's normally a volunteer with our health and wellbeing team in Sedgley, supporting our members throughout the day as they take part in lots of different activities. As you know, sadly, since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, we've had to close the centre in line with government restrictions. But more than 3 months on, and Rupa's still thinking of everyone there. She got in touch with us recently to ask if she could write to the members she supports through her volunteering because she'd just been thinking of them. We were delighted to say yes. And since then, she's wrote some incredibly thoughtful letters, each one personal to the recipient and capturing their lovely personalities. She's even remembered all the little things that they like to do. We're now in the process of passing them on to all our members, and we wanted to say a special thank you to Rupa for taking the time for such a wonderful gesture. We just know that our members will love it. Our volunteers are such an important part of the Beacon family, and it's wonderful to know that so many of them have continued to support us for the past few months. If you'd like to join our volunteer team, call us 01902 880 111.
Thanks, Ellen. Just in case you missed it, 01902 880 111 is the number you need to get through to Beacon. It's back to the local news now, though, with Angela.
The West Midlands has landed £66 million in government funding to kickstart a series of shovel-ready schemes. The cash is aimed at driving the region's post-COVID-19 recovery and could be earmarked for projects including new railway stations and roads in the Black Country. Bosses at the West Midlands Combined Authority are working with local enterprise partnership across the region to finalise a list of schemes. The money that from the government's Getting Building Fund is in response to a list of regions submitted 2 weeks ago of infrastructure schemes that can be underway within 18 months to get the local economy moving again. The funding is in addition to Boris Johnson's New Deal announcement in Dudley, which included £84 million for the WMCA to unlock more derelict industrial land for housing.
Young children and their families will be able to pick up tips on staying healthy and active thanks to a new £300,000 initiative launched by the Wolves Foundation. The Healthy Goals Project will work with preschool children and their families promoting healthy growth through education and activity sessions. It has received funding from the Premier League, Professional Footballers Association and City of Wolverhampton Council. The project aims to gain insight from both professionals and parents about barriers to healthy growth to enable the project to help to meet these needs. The scheme further extends the range of initiatives for all ages run by Wolves Foundation, offering activities from cradle to grave as part of their programme to support the people of Wolverhampton. Under the guidance of Health Officer Jade Sutton, the programme will eventually include initiatives such as parent education workshops on tackling fussy eating, reducing screen time, healthy eating cooking classes, family education and physical activity sessions, and interactive stay and play sessions at Molyneux and local community centres and nurseries.
Wolverhampton Grand Theatre's annual panto has been postponed. Cinderella, the first pantomime to be produced by the theatre in more than three decades, has been postponed due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic that has seen theatres close their doors worldwide. The safety and welfare of the audience, artists and employees was also a key factor in the decision to postpone. Ticket holders have been automatically transferred to the equivalent performance with the same seats next year. The theatre will send individual correspondence to everyone affected outlining the options available. Pantomime sponsor Dudley Zoo and Castle have also pledged its support by transferring their sponsorship to next year. All remaining productions for 2020 have either been transferred to new dates or have been cancelled. West End Hits' Everybody's Talking About Jamie and 9 to 5 the Musical will be among the first shows to open at the Grand in the new year.
Nearly 30 firefighters tackled the major blaze at a derelict former school in the Black Country, which is believed to have been an arson attack. Five crews were sent to tackle the fire, which started just after 2 a.m. on Sunday at the former Sir Gilbert's Clayton School in Dudley. Police, paramedics, gas engineers and council workers have also been on the scene on Blowers Green Road, where part of the building has collapsed, but no one is reported to have been injured. Around 80% of the roof of the former Victoria School has collapsed to the ground. A fire investigation is underway, with officers believing the fire was started deliberately. Officers from Dudley Council are on site to erect fencing around the perimeter of the building. Most recently known as the Clayton Centre, the building has been derelict for several years and was set to be turned into apartments after being sold at an auction for $405,000 last year.
Tourism and hospitality businesses in the West Midlands have been urged to apply for new industry accreditation. Visit England's We're Good to Go allows the region's firms to demonstrate they have undergone a coronavirus risk assessment, and it shows to visitors that the businesses are safe and are adhering to government and public health guidance. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council and member of the West Midlands Regional Board for Tourism, said, "It is imperative that new and existing visitors feel safe enough to return to the West Midlands, which is famous for the strength, variety and welcome of its tourist attractions." The new We're Good to Go mark will give venues the confidence that they have the correct protocols in place to help them get up and running after a particularly tough period. Our renowned attractions, such as the Black Country Living Museum and Dudley Zoo and Castle, have been hard hit. With their success vital to our region's economic recovery, I have written to the government to ask that we retain our business grants underspend to further support the sector to bounce back. The scheme, which has involved input from more than 40 industry bodies across the country, is free to join. Businesses must undergo a self-assessment checklist to confirm they have the necessary processes in place.
Thanks, Christine. It's time for our weekly quiz now with Quizmaster Mina.
Once again, it's time to test you on events that happened on this week in history. As always, you will find the answers in our flashback section coming up later with Roger in this week's Black Country Talking News. Are you ready? Here we go. Question 1. Who replaced Pete Best as drummer in the Beatles in 1962? Question 2. What iconic satellite was launched on 10th of July 1962? Question 3. What was the name of the toy first launched on 12th of July 1964? Question 4. What was the name of Hollywood in California before it was renamed in 1922? Question 5. In what valley in the USA was a temperature of 57 degrees Celsius recorded
on July the 10th, 1919. And finally, question 6. Name the Englishman who patented the incandescent light bulb in 1892. Keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, we'll let you know all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Thanks, Mina. Don't forget, the answers are coming up in our flashback section a little later on with Flashback Roger. Time for some more local news now, though, with Ian.
Domestic violence increased as fights and house parties kept West Midlands police busy on Super Saturday, while in Staffordshire, police received almost as many 999 calls as on New Year's Eve. Senior officers at West Midlands Police said that while it was a very busy night for 999 calls, very few were in relation to trouble at drinking establishments across the region. Pubs, bars and restaurants were officially allowed to open for the first time in more than 100 days on Saturday. Government guidance stated that venues could reopen as long as they adhered to social distancing and safety measures that protected both staff, customers and the public. West Midlands Police said they received a high level of calls during the early hours of Sunday morning, reporting fights, house and street parties and loud music, as well as an increase in reports of domestic abuse.
Over 6,700 pupils attended school in Wolverhampton last week, the highest number since schools closed to most pupils following the coronavirus lockdown in March. Last week, around 4% of school-aged children attended for at least some part of the week, including pupils in eligible year groups. Reception Year 1, Year 6, Year 10 and Year 12. The children of key workers and vulnerable children and young people. Since a wider reopening of schools at the start of June, nearly 8,000 children have attended for at least one session, including a third of children in reception and Year 1. 40% of pupils in Year 6 and a quarter of Year 10 students.
Dudley Council has shared details of a local outbreak control plan that will help to keep residents and visitors safe during the latest phase of controlling a pandemic. Wolverhampton's COVID-19 outbreak control plan has also been published, setting out how the city will tackle the spread of the virus and control any future outbreaks. Other local authorities across the country are also releasing their localised plans as coronavirus lockdown restrictions continue to ease.
Dudley Council has written to pubs, bars, cafes and restaurants to help them reopen safely. The council is contacted all licensees, highlighting the new government legislation which sets out guidance on what they needed to do ahead of opening. As well as the requirement to complete risk assessments, licensees will see their existing alcohol license extended to cover outdoor spaces on the premises, while pavement permits can be applied for so long as there is room for social distancing around tables and chairs. City of Wolverhampton Council and other agencies have been getting in touch with businesses, including pubs, bars and restaurants, to help them reopen safely. Following recent government guidance, cafes, hair salons and barbers, hotels and bed and breakfast accommodation are also among businesses able to reopen from this weekend, provided they adhere to social distancing and safety measures that protect both staff, customers and the public. The council's public toilets in the city centre, Victoria Street, Bilston, Wensfield, Tetnall Park and West Park are open.
Measures are being put in place in two town centres at Dudley. Council continues work to keep shoppers safe across the borough. Dudley Council has teams in Sedgley and Lye working on a range of changes to help people get around while maintaining social distance. In Sedgley, an area of no stopping is being introduced along Dudley Road as part of plans to make the pavements wider. In Lye, no stopping is being introduced along High Street, while a temporary 30-minute loading bay will be added to the junction of High Street and Clinic Drive to support traders. Signs, posters and other business support are also being offered to traders to help them keep their shops safe. It is part of the raft measures in town centres across the borough as more shops begin to open following the government's gradual easing of the coronavirus lockdown. It includes an online portal for creators to download signs, maps and other resources to support businesses and people while shopping. The council has consulted local traders and ward councillors to gauge feedback on the plans.
Thanks, Angela. Our final local news roundup coming soon. Now, last week we featured one of Beacon's employment coordinators, Sharon, who lives with sight loss. But I know some of you were unfortunately unable to listen last week due to a few technical difficulties. So here she is again for all those of you who missed it.
I am 54 years young. My sight loss journey started at 38 years of age, initially with diabetic retinopathy. After many treatments and operations, I also have macular degeneration, which is loss of central vision, in both eyes, a detached retina to the right eye, which was operated on but never the same after, cataracts to both eyes, and in November 2019, I was rushed to hospital very poorly to find I had glaucoma. So over the years, I have had to constantly adapt to my sight loss and find ways to try to do the things I wanted to do. My motto is, if I can find a way, I will. If not, I now ask for help. I used to have such an attitude of being fiercely independent, but came to the realisation that yet I do need support with certain things. 15 years on, I am now registered blind and still working in the sight loss sector for Beacon. I have a beautiful guide dog called Jeannie. She is blonde, nearly white, and is 5 years old. She looks like a baby seal and is very sociable. I work for Beacon in the Staffordshire team, and I also support clients with employment, so I am an employment coordinator. When COVID-19 struck and we had to work from home, it was a shock. For the first few weeks, I set up my little office in the kitchen on the table. Why did I choose the kitchen? Because it's where the kettle is. No, I'm only joking. It's because this is where the light is better in the house for me. I still get up at 6 a.m. as Jeannie wants her breakfast. Initially, she stood at the door waiting for us to go out to work as we travelled quite a lot as part of our job. It was hard for Jeannie the first few weeks. I must admit it was hard for me too, not having the interactions with the people face to face. Isolation can hit people in many different ways, not being able to get out and about, talking to friends and family, interacting with people, just being able to pop down to the local shop can have massive effects. The fear of contracting COVID-19 and passing it on is a huge concern. I even stopped listening to the news reports on the television as I found I couldn't sleep at night. Calling people and receiving calls for support has kept me sane over the isolation period. Listening to other people's stories and how they have been affected by the changes in how we all live and sharing a problem solving together has given me an in-depth experience and more knowledge of what people really need and yearn for. A friendly call to people is uplifting. A chat is the start to building trust and showing people there are people out there who genuinely care. This is so important for people living in isolation. You can have family and friends, but still feel isolated in life.
Thanks, Sharon. Let's have our final local news bulletin now with Christine.
Artists and photographers are being asked to come forward to capture the spirit of the region as part of the Black Country Festival. Dudley Council was gearing up for a series of events and activities during July, but the coronavirus pandemic has meant the annual festival has had to run differently. The festival runs throughout July, and every year people mark July 14th as Black Country Day. This year, the Mayor of Dudley is asking the borough's creative public to produce the picture or photograph that best captures the spirit of the Black Country. The winning entry will be framed and will hang in pride of place in the Mayor's Parlour later this year. It is part of a series of videos and images which will be shared online via the Council's social media channels to mark the special month, despite government restrictions to combat coronavirus. Sandwell Libraries and Sandwell Archive Service are also launching a new photo project for Black Country Festival 2020 this year. The Inspired by Hold Still project aims to capture life in Sandwell during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Sandwell Archives will put the photos into an online gallery. The service would also like any other records residents have of life in lockdown, including video, audio recordings or in writing. Anyone interested can email their contributions to archives_service@sandwell.gov.uk.
People visiting Himley Hall and Park can take advantage of a takeaway service from the terrace. Visitors can purchase refreshments through a safe hatch from the hall's south-facing terrace. It is hoped the service, which is run by the Himley team, will help people enjoy a longer stay at the popular park site. The Himley Terrace Hatch will be open between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Tuesday to Sunday.
Stourbridge continues to celebrate being a fair trade town after the National Fair Trade Foundation renews its status. Local efforts to support fair trade over the last 2 years and the backing of the Stourbridge Fair Trade Town Group by Dudley Council have resulted in the town's continuing title as the borough's first fair trade town. The group is particularly grateful for its steering group for its dedicated and innovative ideas, providing direction and ambition. Many local people, shops, schools, churches and organisations have helped the group to promote fair trade locally in many ways, whether it's stocking fair trade goods, putting up displays about fair trade, running competitions or simply promoting the benefits of fair trade. As well as local supermarkets, smaller shops like the Stourbridge Health Store in Victoria Passage, Ecomaniacs and Fair and Square in the Rye Market all stock fair trade and ethically produced goods. Dudley Council is a fair trade council supporting fair trade within the authority and promoting events run by the borough's two fair trade towns, Stourbridge and Sedgley, during Fair Trade Fortnight. The council hosted a pop-up exhibition in the council house during this year's Fair Trade Fortnight.
Summer plans may be looking a little different this year, but it's time to get the party started from the comfort and safety of your car. Merrihill Shopping Centre will host Car Park Party, the UK's only live touring event and a socially distanced and safe entertainment experience. The outdoor drive-in event will bring together world-renowned brands in comedy, karaoke and theatre. Each day will hold a different fun-filled experience showcasing car park comedy, car park karaoke and car park theatre. The shows will take place on the main car park at the waterfront at Into Merrihill, spanning across 2 days on Thursday, July 23rd and Friday, July 24th. A traffic management system will be in place and all vehicles will be parked 2 metres apart. Food and beverages will be available to buy and take away, adhering to government guidelines on social distancing and safety. Accessible toilet facilities will be provided with social distancing, health and safety management and sanitation measures in place. On the Thursday evening, the entertainment begins with a spectacular sing-along concert from the Masaoki Band, bringing two performances with A Night at the Musicals and Back to the 80s. Families are in for a treat during the daytime on the Friday when Horrible Histories, Barmy Britain, brings live theatre to the car park, while Friday evening will feature some of the UK's top comedic talent supplied by the world-famous Comedy Store. There will be limited tickets for each show, priced at £35 per car for comedy and karaoke and £30 per car for theatre. £2.50 booking fee applies. Tickets are available at www.carparkparty.com.
Wolverhampton has been selected as the opening city for next year's British Art Show 9. Haywood Gallery Touring today, Monday, announced a revised programming schedule. It means the biggest touring exhibition of contemporary art in the UK will be first seen at venues in Wolverhampton from the 6th of March to 30th of May, before it heads to Aberdeen, Plymouth and Manchester. The exhibition is renowned for its high volume of visitors to its touring cities and is widely recognised as a significant marker of recent developments in contemporary art, unrivalled in its scope and national reach. British Art Show 8 attracted over 300,000 visitors in its tour to four cities from October 2015 to January 2017.
Thanks, Ian. Now, we set you a quiz a little earlier on. Sadly, I can't remember all the questions. It's the stress, you see. But here's a man who can, with all the answers. It's Flashback Roger.
July the 7th, 1940, Ringo Starr was born. He became one of the Beatles in August 1962, replacing drummer Pete Best right before the group's rise to fame. He wrote and sang the Beatles songs Don't Pass Me By and Octopus's Garden. July the 10th, 1962, Telstar 1 is launched, sending the first commercial transmission of live television via satellite. July the 10th, 1919, the hottest day recorded in the US of 57 degrees Celsius was in Death Valley, California, and that was recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records. On July the 11th, 1892, the US Patent Office declared that Joseph Swan of England had invented the carbon filament incandescent lamp a year before Thomas Edison. July the 12th, 1960, the popular drawing toy Etch-a-Sketch is first produced. And in 1957, on July the 12th as well, Surgeon General Leroy Burnley becomes the first US federal official to acknowledge the connection between smoking and cancer. It all happened on July the 12th, but in 1982, an intruder, a 32-year-old man, sneaked into Queen Elizabeth's bedroom at Buckingham Palace, where he and the Queen just sat and talked for about 10 minutes. Then back in 1923, on July the 13th, the famous Los Angeles landmark Hollywood sign is officially dedicated. But it originally read Hollywoodland.
Thanks, Roger. We'll run through all the answers a bit later on, just in case you missed any of them. It was another weekend of mixed fortunes for both Wolves and Albion, and with the news from our local football teams, it's Ian.
Nuno Espirito Santo admits it was not one of the best ones, as Wolves' Champions League push was dented by a 2-0 loss to Arsenal on Saturday. Wolves remain sixth, but have lost ground on their Europe-chasing rivals, after goals from Bukayo Saka and Alexandre Lacazette for the Gunners. And Nuno confirmed Daniel Podence's absence from the squad was down to travelling to Portugal for a personal issue and having to self-isolate for 14 days upon his return. Wolves are set for a live outing on the BBC during the Premier League's run-in. Facing Burnley at Turf Moor in front of BBC cameras on Wednesday, July the 15th, with a 6 p.m. kickoff. Wolves' next game is against Sheffield United away on Wednesday, July the 8th, with a 6 o'clock kickoff, with the next home game against Everton on Sunday the 12th of July with a 12 noon kickoff. West Bromwich Albion made it back-to-back wins in the Championship with a 4-2 win over Hull City on Sunday. In what was an open and attacking game, both teams impressed going forward whilst looking at a touch shaky at the back. Overall though, the Baggies had too much quality for their opponents and ran out deserved winners with goals from Charlie Austin, Ahmed Hegazi, Kamil Grozicki and substitute Diangana. Albion remain in second spot behind leaders Leeds United with their next game at home on Wednesday the 8th of July against Derby County with a 5 p.m. kickoff, followed by an away trip on Saturday the 11th to Blackburn Rovers at 3 p.m.
Thanks, Roger. There's more Flashback for you next week, and Mina is here shortly too with all the answers from this week's quiz. But before that, here's an introduction to Talking Books as we introduce you to Talking Books Steve for all our new listeners.
Audiobooks, or Talking Books as you may know them, are recordings of books that you listen to rather than read. Audiobooks can be exact word-for-word versions of books or novels, or shortened, abridged versions. You can listen to audiobooks on portable music players, mobile phones, desktop computers, laptops, mobile tablet devices, home speaker systems such as an Alexa, or in your car if your car supports audio streaming. So the history of talking books. When did they and where did they come from? Spoken audio has been available in schools and public libraries, and to a lesser extent in music shops, since about the 1930s. Many spoken word albums were made prior to the age of cassettes and CDs and downloadable audio content, often of poetry and plays rather than books. It wasn't until the late 1980s that talking books began to attract the attention of book retailers, and then book retailers started displaying audiobooks on bookshelves rather than in separate displays. Before talking books were available digitally, they were sold in physical form on analogue cassette tapes and sometimes vinyl records. However, with the invention of the internet, a vast selection of audiobooks are now available online from many, many different sources. And we'll take a look at some of the sources a little later on. Audiobooks may come, at times, as fully dramatised versions of the printed book, sometimes calling upon a complete cast, music and sound effects. Effectively, these audiobooks are known as full cast audiobooks. Now, as a huge fan of Star Wars, of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and of the Marvel Universe, I myself am a massive ambassador for full cast audiobooks, particularly science fiction, especially Star Wars full cast audiobooks. I have to say, the music and the sound effects just make for a rather special experience. So do look out for these and give them a try. Now, I mentioned earlier that we would touch upon some of the many, many websites and apps that provide access to audiobooks, both free and paid for. This isn't an exclusive list, but to name a few, you can access audiobooks and talking books via your local library service. So your local library will have a selection of audiobooks, as well as large print, paper or hardback books to loan, and an online library of e-books, e-magazines and newspapers. The RNIB, or Royal National Institute of the Blind, for those of you who are not familiar with them, is a UK-based charity which offers a talking book library service. With over 30,000 audio books available to borrow, which are all free to print disabled adults and children. The RNIB's audio books are provided in a number of formats and can be delivered to the reader's house by post as a CD or USB memory stick with free postage return. Now, quick tip, just on the RNIB's offer, their CD formats are able to hold one talking book, but their USB memory sticks are able to hold up to three. So bear that one in mind if you do use the Royal National Institute for the Blind to order talking books. And finally, I'd just like to mention another source of audiobooks, that is Calibre Audio, another national charity lending free talking books to anyone who finds print inaccessible or is considered print disabled. Now, there are many, many other sources of audiobooks, and I'll continue to share these with you over the coming weeks. Feel free to get in touch, drop us an email, drop us a telephone call, and let us know what books you'd like reviewed. Thank you for listening. Please, please, everybody, stay safe, and remember, Beacon are here for anybody that needs them in this rather unprecedented times. And if you do find yourself at a bit of a loose end, why not have a look at a talking book? Take care. Speak soon.
Thanks, Steve. He'll be back next week with more talking books for you. Now, did you get any answers to the quiz? Let's run through them all now with Mina.
As always, our questions are about events that happened on this week in history. If you missed the answers with Roger earlier on, let's go through them now. Question 1. Who replaced Pete Best as drummer in the Beatles in 1962? The answer is Richard Starkey, aka Ringo Starr. Question 2. What iconic satellite was launched on 10th of July 1962? The answer here is Telstar. The tune of the same name seemed to be everywhere at the time. Question 3. What was the name of the toy first launched on 12th of July in 1960? The answer is the Etch-a-Sketch. Question 4. What was the name of Hollywood in California before it was renamed in 1922? The answer is Hollywood Land. The name was built on the hillside originally by a property developer as an advert for a huge new housing development. Question 5. In what valley, USA, was a temperature of 57 degrees Celsius recorded on 10th of July 1919? The answer is Death Valley. And finally, question 6. Name the Englishman who patented the incandescent light bulb in 1892. The answer is Joseph Swan. It was patented in America, where he was recognised as its first inventor. So, how did you get on? We'll have another flashback quiz to test you next week. I'll be back with the weather in a moment. But we have a new quiz coming up at the end of this week's edition. What is it, Simon?
A music quiz, Mina. Yes, a music quiz. We're picking a few songs from the 1950s. Pete's got the questions. But what about the weather for next week? It's back to you.
For the weekend and week ahead, it looks mainly dry and getting a bit warmer as we move into next week. The sunrise and sunset times for next week are: sunrise will be at 4:59 a.m. and sunset will be at 21:28 p.m. On Friday 10th of July, we have sunny intervals with a moderate breeze with maximum temperature of 17 degrees with medium UV and pollen levels. On Saturday 11th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees with medium UV levels. Sunday 12th of July, we have sunny intervals with light winds and a maximum temperature of 22 degrees and UV levels again at medium. Moving on to Monday 13th of July, the same again with sunny intervals and light winds and maximum temperature of 22 degrees and UV levels again at medium. On Tuesday 14th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees, UV levels at medium. Now on Wednesday 15th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees, UV levels at medium. And finally, 16th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 24 degrees with medium UV levels. Now, the temperature is definitely rising this week, so enjoy the weather.
I will. Thanks, Mina. Now, to end this week, what's your music knowledge like? Here's Pete with our new music quiz.
And to finish, something a little different this week. I've got a music quiz for you. And the questions kindly sent in from Andy Corston. So thank you for that, Andy. And it's very simple. I'm going to give you some song titles and I'm going to miss a word out. OK, so all you need to do is identify the word. No prizes, I'm afraid, but just, as they say, a bit of fun. So the first song is from 1952, and it was by Al Martino, and it's called Here in My What? Okay, what is going to be where the missing words got to go. So Here in My What? Al Martino. From 1953, Coronation What? Winifred Atwell. From 1954, Three Coins in the What? Frank Sinatra. And from 1955, Rock Around the What? Bill Haley and his Comets. And finally, from 1956, Lay Down Your What? By Anne Shelton. So if you know the missing words, great. If you don't, we'll let you know at the start of next week.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!